venerable religious and dear parishioners, I wanted to begin by speaking about these words of our Lord when he prophesied that he would institute the Holy Eucharist. This is the bread that has come down from heaven, not as your fathers ate the manna and died. He who eats this bread shall live forever. At first look, it seems like our Lord is saying, if you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you will not die bodily. It seems like an immortality promise, does it not? But when we consider what the point was that our Lord was trying to get across, he was saying that manna that came down from heaven, rained upon the chosen people in the desert and fed them, they still died bodily. But whoever eats of this bread will live eternally. It's a pledge of immortality, not a guarantee where somebody says, I've received communion, no matter what I do, I'm going to heaven now. No, that's not it at all. It's if we persevere in our appreciation and love, if we allow ourselves to continue to be fed by this most holy sacrament, then we are being pledged eternal life. Yes, the body does die one day, but with this most special food, persevering in that state of grace means we will live eternally. And this is why Jesus wants us to receive him. He wants us to eat his flesh and drink his blood under the pleasing appearance of bread and wine. Of course, only the priest receives under the appearance of wine, but you receive the blood of Jesus when you come to the communion rail, because you receive the entire Christ. It's impossible to ever separate body, blood again, like happened in his death. So what are the effects of Holy Communion? What happens when we receive him? The Roman Catechism tells us the graces of this most holy sacrament are innumerable. It is the fountain of all grace, for it contains the very author of all grace. According to the doctrine of the Church, there are six special effects of grace produced by this sacrament in those who worthily receive it. First, it unites the recipient with Christ, which Christ plainly shows we call it the name communion. St. Leo writes, the participation of the body and blood of Christ transforms us into that which we receive. And from this union with Christ arises also a closer union with our brethren in Christ in one body. Try to think about that as well. Whenever you receive Holy Communion, you have a stronger bond with all of the other members of the mystical body of Christ. We are being united. It diminishes in us concupiscence and strengthens us against the temptations of the devil. It causes us to perform good works with strength and courage, for he who abides in Christ and Christ in him bears much fruit. It effaces venial sin and preserves us from mortal sin, as St. Ambrose says. This daily bread is used as a help against daily weakness. And as by the enjoyment of this holy sacrament, we are made in a special manner the property, the lambs of Christ, which he himself nourishes with his own heart's blood, he does not permit us to be taken out of his hands so long as we cooperate with his grace by prayer, vigilance, and effort. It brings us to a glorious resurrection and to eternal happiness, for he who communicates worthily possesses him who is the resurrection and the life. It is he who has said, I will raise him up in the last day. He has in Christ, therefore, a pledge that he will rise in glory and live forever. So these are just some of the effects, some of the main effects of Holy Communion. And the author here, Father Goffin, in his instructions, tells us that the early Christians received daily. They yearned for it so much that they made it a point to receive every day. And we are also welcome and invited to receive. As long as we are in the state of grace and have fasted the 3 hours from any solid food, 1 hour from liquids, we also may receive and receive this increase in grace that comes with Holy Communion. I truly believe that each Holy Communion is another jewel in our heavenly crown. And the better we prepare for each communion and desire it, the more beautiful that gem, that jewel, will be in our heavenly crown. I had some thoughts about the walk that Jesus will do after Mass among us. And I was thinking how powerful a walk is sometimes. It means so much. I think back of General Douglas MacArthur when he had to leave the Philippines at the outbreak of World War II, uttered those famous lines, I shall return. And when he did return to recapture the Philippines, he made it a point to get into the water and to walk through the water up onto the beach, surrounded by many people. This was a triumphant walk. It was a return. When a wedding happens, the bride makes a very special walk into church. The groom is already there. Everybody's already there. But she is making that special walk from the doorway into the church. I'll stand for her. It's very profound significance. She is going to be joined to her husband in life, and they're going to do it before God's altar. So it deserves merits a very special walk. And I saw a very special walk yesterday that moved me to tears. Miss Nicole Draiman, who has had the great cross of suffering, hasn't been able to go to school. She made it a point that she was going to walk yesterday with her class. And that heroic young lady inspired us all with her perseverance, and she showed us with her walk, as difficult and as it may have been, as it was for her. And then there's the walk that Jesus did from Pilate to Calvary, carrying a cross. That walk we honor every time we make the Stations of the Cross, because it is so filled with meaning. The walk of Jesus to his place of death, where he was going to give us his life and redeem us and buy us back from Satan. Walks are very, very profound, many of them. And today is indeed one of them. It won't be a painful walk for Jesus. This is going to be a triumphant walk. This is once a year walk among us. And let us love him as he makes this walk through the instrumentality of the priest. We have to have faith, of course. As St. Thomas says so beautifully in the liturgy that he wrote for Corpus Christi, you know, the senses are deceived. The senses don't see it. They see only the host. But faith tells us that God is incarnate, walking among his people, and we want to give him that special worship and love and appreciation. And this is what Corpus Christi is about. So let us rejoice in this day, and let us thank Jesus for being among us, for giving himself in Holy Communion. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen.